Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's Midday Interview. I'm delighted to have Phil Fury in the studio with me today. He's usually with George Scheibner during a Midday Cafe, and they produced together the Great American Songbook. But Phil is here today to talk about the Great American Songbook Live Holiday Edition. A week from tomorrow, two performances at 3 and at 8 p.m. in Thalian Hall's Rainbow Room, which is the disguised ballroom, by the way. So Phil is going to be telling us about what's going to be happening next Saturday. I want to mention before we get going, Phil, you have written a number of books, and I'm just going to rattle them off real quick here because I think folks need to understand your expertise here.
Thanks for the advertisement.
Okay.
They're all for sale, I'm sure.
Oh, excellent, excellent. The Poets of Tin Pan Alley, Ira Gershwin, The Art of the Lyricist, Irving Berlin, A Life in Song, Skylark, The Life and Times of Johnny Mercer, America's Songs, The Stories Behind the Songs of Broadway, Hollywood, and Tin Pan Alley, and most recently, with your wife, Lori Patterson, The Songs of Hollywood. In fact, I was watching PBS a little while ago, and there you were on the screen talking about Broadway musicals, and I thought, oh, my God, hey, I know that guy.
I was a lot younger then.
Oh,
yeah.
You look great then
and now. The lady where I buy coffee saw it on the weekend, and she said, you used to be really cute.
Oh, no. Oh, thanks a lot. Oh, and speaking of how old we are, I just found out that Phil Fury's birthday is the same as mine, November 15th. So he and William Paco Strickland and I are all November 15th babies.
Happy belated birthday.
Yes, thank you. You too. Well, let's talk about your fascination with and passion for the Great American Songbook. When did that begin?
Well, it goes back to my childhood. I grew up in the 1950s when rock and roll came in, and I was a big fan of Elvis and the Platters and the Coasters. You bought those little 45 RPM records, and you had a little record machine that played one at a time, dropped them down. But you also had a hi-fi
Ooh.
Record player, and there you played classy LPs. And I would play LPs by Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Doris Day. And in the 50s, they were singing not contemporary rock and roll songs, but they went back to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and they sang Cole Porter, the Gershwins, Irving Berlin, Rodgers and Hart. So I would listen to all these songs. I didn't know who wrote them.
Mm-hmm.
But those were the records I kept when I went off to college. And for some reason, I thought, rock and roll is for kids in high school. I'm in college now, so I'm going to keep listening to Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and Tony Bennett. And so I got to know these songs over the years. And I was a professor at the University of Minnesota specializing in 20th century American poetry, Ezra Pound, Robert Frost, T.S. Eliot. And it suddenly hit me that the songs of the Gershwins and Rodgers and Hart and Cole Porter were from the same era. And when I started listening to the lyrics, I thought, those are really clever. Those are really witty. So instead of writing any more about Ezra Pound, I started writing about Cole Porter and Ira Gershwin, Johnny Mercer, and I've never looked back
Wow.
at the poets, but I've been writing about the lyricists.
Well, lyricists are poets in their own way.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very special skill to be able to match that to music.
Yeah, and in most of those songs, the music was written first.
Ah.
So it's really a difficult Wow. skill because you have a melody and you have to set syllable to note, verbal phrase to musical phrase. So it really is a great talent to match word to music.
We talk about the Great American Songbook. We also refer to Tin Pan Alley. And what does that mean for folks that don't know?
Tin Pan Alley emerged in the 1880s and 1890s, before record players, before radio. And it was a sheet music publishing industry. Middle-class families could afford a piano in their parlor. It cost about $100
oh
at the turn
gosh.
Of the century. And they needed something interesting, but fairly easy to play. And so a number of sheet music publishers set up shop in New York around Broadway and 28th Street. And they not only marketed sheet music, they produced the songs, almost assembly line fashion. And you can imagine office after office on 28th Street. In every one, there's a piano plunking out new songs. And a reporter who did a story on the sheet music publishing industry said, it sounds like they're banging tin pans up and down the street, and hence Tin Pan Alley.
Tin Pan
or so
Alley.
The story goes.
Yeah.
So the story goes.
Yeah, hard to know when those terms get popular. You think, well, let's make up a story about it. Maybe it wasn't really the story.
They're that good stories, though.
That's pretty plausible. Yeah. Now, I want to mention something else about your growing up before you became a professor and a writer and all that.
Oh, my dark past.
I want to talk about your checkered past as a barker at an amusement park. Tell us about that.
Oh, I grew up a few yards away from one of the biggest amusement parks in Pittsburgh called Kennywood Park. And ever since I was 14, I had jobs there. In the summer, I would work in the penny arcade, but my best job was a barker in a kind of electric bingo game called Fascination. And I would sit there every hour, on the hour or off the hour, for 13 hours a day. And I would say things like, "Everybody, roll your ball drops in a hole, it lights up a light, you're like five lights in a row, and you win a coupon there, 16 ways to win." And it would go on and on until the boss left. Uh-huh. And then it would just be, "Roll your ball." And then the boss would suddenly reappear and you'd say, "Oh, your ball goes up over the incline, it drops in a hole, it lights up a light. There are 16 ways to win." And I did that hour after hour, which is why I talk so much now as you're listening.
You just got
nonstop
on a roll.
Talking for an hour.
Oh, my gosh. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Phil Furia. He is currently a professor in the creative writing department at UNCW, a much-respected author, a book on Ezra Pound, but then he kind of got away.
Oh, that is my dark past,
yeah,
yes.
Really.
That was my first book on Ezra Pound and, oi, on the cantos, no less.
Oi. Then he got into writing about folks like Gershwin in Berlin and Johnny Mercer, and we know him now as the host of the Great American Songbook every weekday around 1:30 in the midst of Midday Cafe with your buddy George Scheibner, who's
back
at work. Yeah, your producer. He's back at work now. We're glad to have him back. Now, let's talk about the show that's coming up in Thalian Hall's Rainbow Room. It's next Saturday, December 15th. It's co-presented by WHQR and Thalian Hall Center for the Performing Arts. There are two shows, one at 3 o'clock and one at 8 o'clock. You have some great musicians lined up. You've got a slideshow with all kinds of cool archival material presented by your wife, by Laurie Patterson.
Yes.
And let's talk about the holiday edition of the Great American Songbook, some of the music we can expect to hear.
Well, we're going to be presenting some of the great holiday songs that are part of the Great American Songbook. They're songs like White Christmas and I'll Be Home for Christmas. They're not the religious carols, and they're not traditional songs like Jingle Bells or Deck the Halls, but they're the songs that came out of Tin Pan Alley that we were talking about before. And it took Tin Pan Alley a long time to create holiday songs because they were afraid that they were interested in songs that would stay popular for weeks or even months. And they were afraid, why write a holiday song that's going to be popular for a week around the Christmas season and then everyone will forget about it? But what they found when they finally decided to try a song like Winter Wonderland or Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the following Christmas, the song became popular again. And it did the same the next year. And they suddenly realized holiday songs are a gold mine for Tin Pan Alley.
Mm.
So they began producing them, and hence came White Christmas and Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
And you were telling me something before we came on the air about these composers. So many of these folks writing Christmas music or holiday music were not really Christians themselves.
No. Tin Pan Alley songwriters, the Gershwins, Irving Berlin, Jerome Kern, were Jews. They were Jewish songwriters. Most of them had grown up in New York. And so that was another bit of hesitation about how do we write holiday songs. They couldn't really call them Christmas songs.
Right.
But what they did was write songs whose lyrics celebrated the more secular aspects of Christmas.
Right.
Snow, chestnuts roasting on an open fire,
sleigh
bells, right, families gathering, Christmas cards where you write, "May all your Christmases be white."
Mm-hmm.
So that they emphasized the secular aspects. But I love those songs because they're available to everybody.
Exactly.
It's not just a Christian celebration. It's everybody of whatever faith or even no faith can enjoy the Christmas season with those songs.
Well, having grown up in Southern California in a suburb of Los Angeles where so many of my neighbors were Jewish, I know that my friends there, they enjoyed the Christmas season as much as we did because, you know, Hanukkah is really a minor holiday in the Jewish faith, and it was got pumped up because it's so close to Christmas.
Right.
And then the kids in the neighborhood all wanted Hanukkah bushes, which, of course, there is no such thing. But, but you know, the music is wonderful, and it satisfies everybody. everybody up holidays, I think. And so we'll be hearing some great things like the tunes that you mentioned. Talk about the musicians that will be there.
Oh, I just think this town has so many good singers and musicians. It may be because of the movie industry or the great theater we have, but there's a plethora of great, there's an English professor word.
Excellent.
A plethora of great musicians. But my real find, and it came actually through a program here at WHQR, was that I found a piano player, Jack Krupicka, who could sing. And it was married to Julie Reeder, who also sings. And I thought, in two people, I've got everything I need.
Exactly.
You know, and I think Julie once said she fell in love with Jack as a piano player because she realized he could transpose any song into her key.
Oh, I love it.
And so we've got the two of them, but we also have a wonderful new arrival on the musical scene in Wilmington, Cindy Hospitalis, who is the choral director at New Hanover High School. She came from Brooklyn. She is absolutely tiny, but she has one of the biggest, most beautiful voices I've ever heard.
Wow.
And
Mike Waddell reeds, Jen McFadden bass, Jack Pindell trombone and pocket trumpet, whatever that is. And he pulls it out.
Yeah.
We have to wrap it up, Phil. I would love to talk some more, but I want to be sure that folks know how to get tickets. They are $25 reserved seating. They are going fast, especially for the matinee show at 3 o'clock. There's a 3 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show on December 15th, next Saturday. You can call Thalian Hall at 632-2285 or go to thalianhall.org and get your tickets. Phil, thank you for being here.
Thank you, and happy holiday.
Thank you. You too. This is WHQR.